When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Winston is picked! Intercepted! Bonito! Goodbye! No flags! Touchdown, Denver!
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
How? I mean, how in the world? That's so funny.
Jameis Winston throws not one, but two pick sixes last night as the Cleveland Browns drop to 3-9, lose to the Broncos 41-32. It was the story of Jameis Winston's career. He throws for 497. He throws four touchdowns. The Browns put up 32 points, but he throws three picks, and every one of them were hilarious. There was one he threw in the end zone, Doran. I've seen the highlight now six or seven times. There's only one guy he could be throwing the ball to, and that's a linebacker.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one in the area. I remember Jameis, he led the league in interceptions. This was a while back now. He threw 33 touchdowns, second most in football, 30 interceptions, the most in football. And then in the offseason, he got LASIK eye surgery.
Yeah, I was just about to. That's so great you brought that up. Yes, go ahead.
But that always struck me. Like, bro, I know you think you can't see. And maybe you can't. Like, maybe you need the cheaters on whenever you're finding time to read your books. Maybe you need the bifocals. I don't know. But LASIK eye surgery, like, just throw it to the blobs wearing your team's colors. Like, if you can't, if it's, like, fuzzy, fine. But the Browns wear white and orange.
Right.
And the Broncos are wearing blue.
Didn't he say, like, he got LASIK? He was like, everything's been going good.
Yeah.
I'm fixed. The Lord has gave me eyes. I can see. Thank you, Lord.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
That's so funny.
That is one of the funniest post-game quotes in the history of professional athletics. And it is so Jameis Winston. And I vowed earlier this year that I wasn't going to tweet during Steelers games because a lot of times you're emotional, things happen very fast, and it winds up looking real dumb. Like, oh, this Steelers defense blows. And then the next thing you know, they force two fumbles and have a pick six, and you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people last night tweeting through the Jameis Winston experience, a lot of national people last night saying the Browns need to re-sign Jameis Winston this offseason and start him over to Deshaun Watson. And I'm not sure that that's a bad idea, even with him throwing the three picks. But the three picks were so bad. Okay. Go ahead.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep.
He's better than Deshaun. No doubt. No doubt. Deshaun ain't throwing four touchdowns at 497. But he's still not good.
Right.
And so that brings me to the crux of the conversation to start the show. We'll do a lot more Steelers-related stuff as we move forward today. The Browns are better than I thought. You know, they beat the Steelers the other night. That was a gritty performance by them, and I blame the Steelers for the loss, and I still think the Steelers beat themselves more than the Browns beat the Steelers. But hey, the Browns had a hand in it. Of course they did. And then last night's game, super competitive on the road against a team that it looks is a shoo-in now for the playoffs, and the Broncos sitting there at 8-5. And these Browns are game. They're game.
And you know what? This is why I would think it'd be so ridiculous for them to fire Stefanski. This has to do with a lot with Stefanski. You give him actually a competent quarterback, and look what they can do. I mean, look at last year. That should be enough proof. And I think that we could all get on the same page. I know it's Cleveland, and you know that's our rival, whatever. But I think we can all agree that Stefanski's a good coach. Probably their best coach that they've had in a while, right? I mean, I can't remember one that's had this amount of success or like some success. It's all Deshaun Watson. If they move on from Stefanski at the end of the year, I think that that would just be a huge disservice to their football team. They know what the root of the issue is, and I don't think they can get underneath it.
I think the Steelers are in a really good place to compete in this division the next few years, so long as Russell Wilson comes back. And if the Browns did something stupid like that, that's outstanding.
Right.
Stefanski didn't want Watson. Watson got forced upon him. He can't win with Watson. He's won with everybody else. He won and went to the playoffs with Joe Flacco. They were on their fourth string quarterback last year. He's a two-time coach of the year. You're right. Stefanski, I don't know if he's a great coach. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
And you don't fire good coaches in Cleveland. You hang on to them. The Ravens could have fired Harbaugh a couple of times. The Steelers, I guess, could have fired Tomlin a couple of times for some relative underachieving. And the Ravens are a model of consistency in this division, as are the Steelers. The Browns should follow that model. But you think about the Bengals, they're not making the playoffs this year. Chad Ochocinco's crying gumball tears. We'll play that for you later on. That's also hilarious. Chad Ochocinco very, very upset, despondent even, that the Bengals are missing out on a year of Joe Burrow's window. But their defense blows. They don't have good players. That's not going to be an overnight fix. I don't care who their coordinator is next year. The Ravens are going to be a problem as long as Lamar's there, but he hasn't been a Steelers problem. And if the Browns fire Stefanski, their roster is going to turn over. They're still dealing with all they had to give up for Watson in terms of the draft picks and with what they're paying him. It wasn't that long ago. Oh, boy, what are the Steelers going to do? They're going to be in the basement for a while. It's Joe Burrow and Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. Feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good about where the Steelers sit, so long as Russell Wilson remains a Steeler, and I think he will.
Yeah, and for the price that they've done these things and these moves. I mean, Patrick Queen being, you know, the highest paid offseason acquisition in a long time, I think, ever, right?
Yep.
Defensive, at least. You know, for the price that they've paid, especially Russell Wilson, I mean, what, $1.2 million? That's what you're getting for Russell Wilson right now? I mean, that is just unbelievable. And so, you know, he's playing at a high level, and I honestly am not shocked. I'm not shocked. And, you know, thinking about last year and what he did and the situation he was in, you know, the Broncos are actually decent this year. And, you know, that just shows you that, you know, whenever you have, you know, you have two alphas in a room, they clash most of the time. So Russell Wilson being in a situation with Sean Payton last year, it was probably just never going to work. Russell Wilson does things his way. Sean Payton does things his way. Sean Payton needs a guy that he can mold, or a guy like Drew Brees that they think like they have like-minded you know, thoughts of you know, throughout the season. So,
and really, Brees became Brees. He was pretty good at the end in San Diego, but he became Brees with Payton. So
yes.
They had that camaraderie,
together, yes,
that symbiotic relationship. You're right about that. Sometimes, you know, there's a decision made and there's clearly a right party and a wrong party.
Mm-hmm.
This Russell Wilson situation is one where Denver did the right thing for them and for Sean Payton. If they had so much invested in Payton, you let him run it the way he wants to run it, and now he's molding Knicks. And with Russell Wilson, it's working out for him too.
Yeah.
So like, I think both parties got exactly what they wanted and needed. And you're right, it was a match that just wasn't going
to
work.
Well, they're still paying $39 million to Russell Wilson to maybe go to a Super Bowl.
There's that.
Yeah.
There's that. But would they be 8-5 with Russ this year? I'm not sure.
Probably not. You're right.
Russ is a better player
right
than
Bo Nix. It just never would have worked.
Like, think about that game on Sunday for the Steelers. I went back and I rewatched it. This is, again, why I don't have time to read. Girls are napping, rewatching Steelers, Bengals. What is? I'm such a nerd. And how many times they just barely got the snap off before the play clock? One time they didn't. Because Russell Wilson's getting up there with 20, 15 seconds, and he's stopping everything, and he's Omaha-ing, and he's blah, blah, blah-ing. And I don't know what kind of freedom he had in Denver last year, but I don't think Arthur Smith has such a big ego where he's thinking, oh, boy, Russ, I called this. You got to stick with it. I would be willing to bet that, especially in that first half, and this is just an educated-ish guess, 50% of the time Russ is up there switching probably from run plays to passing plays.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't had that in years, and he didn't have that, I don't think, because of the egos at play in Denver.
And Mike Tomlin, that's the way, and we talked about this before, the way that Mike Tomlin wants to coach football, he has to have a veteran quarterback that he could trust, that he doesn't have to, you know, kind of put his arm around and kind of hold his hand. And that's exactly what they needed. And we talked about this yesterday. If you watch the motions, the slot motions yesterday or in the game in Cincinnati, you could tell that's whenever Russell Wilson was running the offense. That's whenever he was making the checks because he's identifying the coverages. He's identifying what's going on. You haven't had that in years, but that's exactly why Mike Tomlin was so infatuated by Russell Wilson is because he knows that he could win with a quarterback that he doesn't have to hold his hand and that he could trust. And with Kenny Pickett and some of the other quarterbacks that we've seen outside of Ben, Mike Tomlin's like, handcuffs, nope. I don't trust you to do that. You might throw the ball in harm's way. Now he has a guy that can do it. Yeah, even Fields. Yes. He has a guy that he knows that can do it. And that's how Mike Tomlin has really, you know, he only knows Ben Roethlisberger really. And he's seen the highest of the highs. And he wanted to get back to that point where he could trust the quarterback and offensive coordinator and to do their thing and to not have to intervene.
I know that Russ didn't really play all that well against the Ravens. I do think he played well against Cleveland. He was far from their biggest problem in that game. Was obviously outstanding on Sunday. This is the highest level of quarterback play the Steelers have had since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even close. Russell Wilson is a good quarterback. I've sort of been waiting for that other shoe to drop. Like, he can't be this good, really. No, I just think he is. I think he is because I think the mind is as sharp as it's ever been. He knows more about football now than he did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So he's at the sharpest he's ever been diagnosing defenses. He understands this offense. And then we're seeing it. The arm's there, man. He drops the ball in the bucket down the sideline to Pickens. He lasers that one in to
Freiermuth.
Freiermuth was a great play. That wasn't even the one I was referencing. But yeah, that one, he moves in the pocket and throws it on a BB.
Van Jefferson.
Where that thing, man, that thing's like 3 feet off the ground. There's no hump in that ball. Zips it right in there. The throw to Calvin Austin. That's a hell of a throw. Huh. So his mind is working at this high level. The arm is as good as it was in 2014. I don't know that that's even arguable. The Steelers have, right now, a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback pulling the trigger here. They got a shot, man. And we'll get into Fields v. Russ a little bit later on in the show. I pulled a bunch of numbers. Again, not reading my library book. Pulled all kinds of numbers. Compared them to Super Bowl champions of the past. And I think the Steelers got a shot. We'll get into that coming up in a little bit. How are we feeling about the Broncos as a threat? And how worried are we about the Browns on Sunday? 412-928-9370. We'll get into that a little bit more when we come back. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. If you want to give us a ring, I gave you the number. The fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. One time before we hand it over to Callis for a headline.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sixes. I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
I can't get over it, man.
Me neither. It's so funny.
Lord, please help me make better decisions throwing the football. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I do think the Browns are a better football team with Jameis Winston. They beat the Steelers. They beat the Ravens. They pushed Denver to the brink on the road on Monday Night Football. It's a tough place to play for a number of different reasons. That's a good Denver defense that he threw for 497 yards against. How big of a threat are the Browns on Sunday? We'll obviously get into them more in depth as the week goes on, but how are you viewing this game now as compared to maybe a couple days ago?
Well, I'm looking at the weather. It's going to be 50 degrees and sunny, so there's a little plus. It's not going to be a blizzard. So I think they're the same team that they're going to – I think the Steelers on a long, normal week will have a better showing.
And the Browns have a little bit of a short week because they had to play last night and come back from Denver.
Right, that too. I see this game, you know, coming off of a big win in Cincinnati and doing it the way that you did. The Browns can't score. They can put up a lot of yardage, as we've seen. I mean, Jerry Jeudy and Jameis Winston have done this. You know, this is the second time that they've both went over 200 receiving and over 400, almost 500 yards passing. I don't think that that'll happen against the Steelers this time around. I think the Steelers kind of know who they are at this point, and they'll take care of the Browns. I really do. I have a really good feeling about it.
You remember that time that Antonio Brown drop-kicked the punter for the Browns? That's what the Steelers are going to do to them on Sunday.
Yes.
I think the Steelers are going to beat them by 10-plus, maybe 14-plus.
Mm-hmm. Early, too. They're going to get up quick.
I think so, too. The Steelers beat the Bengals more decisively, I believe, than the final score indicated. The pick six never should have happened. Probably be a good time for me to play the Jameis Winston thing. Russell Wilson threw a ball on a timing pattern to a receiver that got yanked down by his head. The Steelers' defense also gave up 14 points, really in garbage time. I mean, you're up 41-24. You're not really ever in danger of losing that game. It got a little tight at the end. You didn't feel super comfortable, but the defense was, I thought, excellent until about 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
The offense, I think, is going to have a much better showing against Cleveland. In the second half, they made adjustments. They took Myles Garrett out of the game. They did that to Hendrickson against the Bengals. I don't think Myles Garrett's going to impact the game the way he did last Thursday. I think the offense is going to move the ball. I think the defense is out for blood because of the things that Myles Garrett said after the game. I took the Browns lightly once. I'm taking them even lighter now.
Yeah.
Because of what happened the first time. And look, I thought after that game that the Steelers are not who we thought they were. I thought that Browns game showed me that the Steelers are the team that they've been under Tomlin for the last 7 years, that they've got warts and they're going to lose to bad teams. And they did lose to a bad team. This Bengals game makes me feel like the Browns game was an aberration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to be out for blood. I think they're going to be out for revenge. It's at home. They know just how tough the 3 games in 11 days stretch is going to be immediately following this one. I think they kicked the hell out of them.
Mm-hmm. I think they know that they absolutely need to win this game. And it would be insane for anybody, and especially us right now, to think that T.J. Watt would have the same game that he had against the Browns the first time. That's not going to happen. And on the other side, Alex Highsmith will be back too.
Yes.
And we do know how the defense does change and they play, you know, a tick better whenever Alex Highsmith is in the lineup. So, I do believe that the offense will have an answer for Myles Garrett. He's not going to have, what do you have, 3 sacks? He's not going to have 3 sacks again. But it'll be insane for us to think that T.J. Watt wouldn't have a game like he had on Sunday.
He had 2 sacks on Sunday, the forced fumble, and it's not like the Bengals weren't trying to double him.
Right.
They were. They had him. He rushed the passer on a stunt at one point. They lined him up inside at another point. They lined him up on the opposite side at another point. They actually did move T.J. Watt around. You'll probably see more of that on Sunday. I think the Steelers will take care of business.
Yep.
We'll break it down more in depth later on in the week. I am going to pay special attention to Jerry Jeudy, though, and I'm probably not going to shadow him with Joey Porter Jr. I'm probably going to give Dante Jackson more of the assignment there because he's a fast, wiggly guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Porter likes to get handsy.
Yeah, he does.
Get his hands on a guy.
He does. And then clearly we have to pay attention to George Pickens and Newsom, and I know that the officials will be paying attention to George Pickens the whole entire game. So if I'm Mike Tomlin and, you know, Azani, as you said, Azeez Ansari.
That's right.
I'm telling George, listen, do not let anybody get underneath your skin because they're going to try.
Go play football.
They're going to try.
Yep.
Wouldn't you?
The best revenge, Doran, is living well.
And scoring points.
That's right.
And catching balls.
There's nothing that would be more aggravating to the Browns than you putting up 150 yards, scoring a touchdown or two, and then after your touchdowns, you walk over and make a point to hand it to the referee.
Yep.
That's going to piss him off more than anything.
Absolutely.
Like, I always wanted the Penguins to punch Tom Wilson right between the eyes and break his nose, but hey, eliminating him from the playoffs feels pretty good.
Yep.
And there's nothing that hurts him more than that. So just go out there, kick Newsom's ass on a scoreboard.
Yeah.
How about that?
I like it.
How good are the Broncos?
I think they're going to be good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think they're a year ahead of schedule.
Uh-huh. I don't think that they're, I mean, they may squeak into the playoffs, but I don't think they're like a contender good.
I was rooting for them last night. As much as the Ravens don't scare me in a playoff game because Steelers have beat them 8 out of 9 and Lamar's had his bugaboos in the playoffs, I would still rather play Denver than Baltimore.
Yes.
And they're now both tied at 8-7, or excuse me, at 8-5. Baltimore beat them straight up by a million points. And so Denver's the 7, Baltimore's the 6. The Steelers are obviously the 3. If the playoffs started today, the Steelers would play the Ravens. Would not mind for a second Sean Payton walking up in here.
No.
Because you want to talk about the best revenge is living well. Russell Wilson didn't get his chance to play Sean Payton.
That's right.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, that's right.
Give it to me. Give
all
it to me.
All day.
All day.
Yes.
Let Russ cook.
I totally forgot about that.
Because we're now seeing with Russell Wilson, if you want to win by throwing it a bunch of times, you can. And if the Steelers throw it around on Denver and put up points, Bo Nix has been a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. I think Sean Payton's done a nice job with him. I think Sean Payton's a jackass, but I think he's done a nice job with him. You put up 30, they ain't putting up 30 at Heinz Field, Acrisure Stadium.
Nope.
I'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wouldn't just be a petty game ball from Mike Tomlin. You give Russell Wilson the game ball game ball.
Yes.
Yeah, give me that. Give me the storylines all week. Oh, man, that'd be... I think that's my dream playoff matchup right now. So, hey, go Broncos. And, hey, lose Ravens. There's nothing cute to say with that. The Baltimoreans there found one. All right, coming up next... I did math, Doran, and I compared what Russ has done through six games to that of which the Fields did through six games. And then I also compared the Steelers offensively and defensively to the last 10 Super Bowl champions. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. And out popped, I think, maybe a Super Bowl contender.
This is the 10th play of the drive for the Steelers.
Go, go, go.
Shotgun, Wilson, fires, end zone! Calvin Austin, touchdown, Steelers, perfectly timed.
All right, real quick, before we get into the actual topic, I just saw Jameis Winston's pregame speech. And he said, mile high, forget about mile high, Brown's gonna multiply. Like they're amoebas or something. Hey, Jameis, just because it rhymes, buddy.
Yeah. He's just saying whatever.
It doesn't mean it makes sense.
Saying whatever.
You know, Ray Lewis used to do that all the time back in the day, too. And then he had this bit when he was working for ESPN where he would do it in his garage. He would give pregame speeches and pretend he was in the locker room, but he'd be in his garage.
I don't know if I remember that one.
Yeah. And it would just be echoing throughout the garage. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. Just giving pregame pep talks to nobody. It was outstanding. And half the stuff he said didn't make sense.
Nothing.
But you're going to run out of material eventually. You can't 17 games, 16 in his case, a season, 20 if you're including playoffs, and you got preseason. Like, we're talking hundreds of games. You're going to have to start recycling material at some point.
Something. Eat a W.
Eat a W today. Hey, we're going to eat a W today.
That was probably number one.
All time.
All time.
That one can't get knocked off the perch. At least in terms of pregame stuff, because postgame, asking God to help him not throw pick sixes is up there. It's like that guy in Buffalo, Stevie Johnson.
Yep.
Blame God for dropping that touchdown pass in overtime against the Steelers. I do digress. So Caboli said yesterday there's not a team the Steelers can't beat. And we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. We'll get into it actually a little bit now. And I was thinking, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Especially in the AFC, you look around and you think, okay, could the Steelers beat the Chiefs? Sure. Can the Steelers score with Buffalo? Well, sure looked like that on Sunday. I started breaking down a number story, and I got, like, weird with it. And I couldn't stop. Once I start, I can't stop. So the difference between the Steelers with Russ and with Fields, well, it's stark. And I think Fields did a good job. I mean, he went 4-2. Russ obviously has gone 5-1. So with Russ, they're averaging 271 pass yards per game. With Fields, it was 184. Remember when everyone had that conversation about, can the Steelers run the ball without Fields?
Mm-hmm.
With Russ, they're averaging 135 rushing yards per game. With Fields, it was 133. So they are slightly actually running the ball better with Russ than they were with Fields. Yards per game with Russ, 391. Yards per game with Fields, 298. Here's the big one, though. Points per game with Russ, 28.6. With Fields, 20.6. So they're averaging a touchdown and a two-point conversion more per game with Russell Wilson. On the whole, I hope people are following me here. On the whole, the Steelers are 10th in the league in scoring. But they would be in the top five if you just extrapolated out what Russell Wilson has done. So then it got me thinking, okay, let's look at some past Super Bowl winners and see how the Steelers compare. Do they compare favorably? I think they do, Doran.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the Steelers right now, and they are 10th in the league in points for, and they are 6th in the league in points against. I'm going back 10 years here. Seahawks, 2013, first in defense. Well, Mike Tyson came out there.
Seattle, fifth in defense.
8th in offense, scoring 26 points per game. Patriots, 14. 8th in defense, 4th in offense. 15, Broncos, 4th in defense, 19th in offense. But that defense was really good. No fly zone, all that fun stuff. Then you go to the Patriots, 1st in defense, 3rd in offense. Eagles, 4th in defense, 3rd in offense. Patriots, 7th in defense, 4th in offense. Chiefs, 7th in defense, 5th in offense. Bucks, 8th in defense, 3rd in offense. Rams, 15th in defense, but they played well down the stretch. 7th in offense. Chiefs, 22. 5th in defense, 1st on offense. Chiefs, 23. 2nd in defense, 15th in offense. Point being, you got to be well-rounded.
Yeah.
You got to play good offense. You got to play good defense. Steelers are.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers are. And when I look at the points per game scored by all those Super Bowl champions, 26, 29, 22, 27, 28, 27, 28, 30, 27, 30, 21, Steelers with Russ are almost averaging 29 points per game. Guys, they could do this thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're the favorite, and I'm sorry to bog it all down with the numbers there. I'm happy that I slipped into Tyson because at least I break up the monotony of all those numbers. The Steelers are as well-rounded a team as there is in the NFL outside of the Lions. Because when I was pulling all this crap together this morning, you said, all right, pull up the Lions. Well, the Lions are averaging 32 points per game on offense. That's first in the NFL. And they're third in the league in points
against. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is the gold standard.
Yeah.
That team should be and is the runaway Super Bowl favorite right now.
So are the Steelers second in the averages of offense and defense in the league?
That's a good question.
Who would be probably better? I would say maybe.
I'll look at Buffalo.
Yeah. Chiefs maybe. I don't know. Like just the averages of like where they are in the gap.
So the Bills are second in offense, sixth in defense. Mm-hmm. So the Bills fit that bill.
Mm-hmm.
See how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs offense hasn't been great.
Right.
So I'm guessing that they don't quite. They're eighth in points allowed. They're 11th in points for. They actually compare very favorably to the Steelers, who are 10th in points for. And what did I say? Sixth in points allowed. So the Steelers are right there, statistically.
There, yeah.
And then you watch him with your own two eyes. Russell Wilson is playing. I mean, he's a top five quarterback right now. Remember when people gave you hell for that a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, I do.
They have a top five quarterback in the league right now.
They sure do.
Right now. And I'm sorry to bog everyone down with the numbers. I went off on a Rain Man thing there, and I couldn't stop.
But it's good to compare because you know what you're going against. And then it's comparing to, you know, what it takes to get to a Super Bowl in the last decade, but also what your competition's doing around you, too. And do you fit the bill of what your competition is doing? And can you see a pathway? And there's clearly a pathway with the numbers that you just rattled off there.
Yeah, it's not to say that they're better than the Bills. Yeah. And I would take Josh Allen over Russell Wilson because I think Josh Allen's probably the best quarterback going right now.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes, I mean, you're probably taking over anybody because he's won back-to-back Super Bowls and he's won 3 out of 4, and we just know what Patrick Mahomes is. But do the Steelers have a shot? Yeah. Can the Steelers win the Super Bowl? Yeah. And you might say, Crowley, you're riding the roller coaster here. You wrote him off after the Browns loss. I just wanted that game to be an aberration. And the way they played against Cincinnati offensively is they hit a level that I didn't know that they could hit. And so that makes me think, yeah, the Browns game, it stings. It hurts you mathematically. It hurts you trying to get the number two or number one seed in the AFC. It makes it harder to win the division. But it does seem like that's a game that you kind of throw out.
Yeah.
That's not who they are. By the way, you took a lot of flack for the Russell Wilson deal.
A lot.
He's fifth in the league in passer rating right now. Fifth. Now, he's only played 6 games, but he's fifth in the league. If he had played all 12, he might be an MVP candidate right now.
There's no doubt about it.
Actually, yeah, you're right. There is no doubt about it. If he had played all 12 games and he played to this level, he's absolutely an MVP candidate. Just double everything, right? What's he got? He got 10 touchdowns, 3 picks. Say he has 20-6. That puts him right there with some of the best in football.
Well, think about the defense he would have won against. Think about the defense that Justin Fields won against. I mean, he's probably going to dice up the Dallas Cowboys defense at that time, having like 3 guys out. I know, like, he would have diced them up. He probably would have diced the Broncos up because of the, you know, going to Mile High, going to Denver. It's early in the season. They're trying to figure out who they are. They don't have an identity. He probably would have diced them up. He knows what they're going to do. So you're take just 2 games right there. His numbers would probably be definitely inflated to what they are now to say that he could be a candidate for MVP.
I totally agree with that. And I think, okay, you had the Ravens game where you only kick field goals. They moved the ball. You hate to say stuff like this because it does make you sound like a homer, but I'm just going to throw the stats out for a Ravens game.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know what you're going in for.
Yeah.
That game had to be dragged down into the mud.
Yes.
And that's how it always is.
And isn't that kind of the crux of all of this here? If the Steelers want to drag you into the mud and beat you, they can.
Yes.
And they did.
Yes.
If the Steelers want to go out there and put up 37 offensive points and beat you that way, they can and they did. Oh, you go into Washington, you're going to need to score darn near 30 points to win. They do. They're
Take
clutch at the end. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If they want to beat you on special teams, they can. Special teams was bad on Sunday. Kick, block, give up some returns, still beat you. Defense bled yards, still beat you. This team can win the Super Bowl. Not saying they're the favorite, but they can. Agree? Disagree? Comments? Concerns? 412-928-9370. That's the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. Can the Steelers win the Super Bowl? We'll get your reaction to that coming up next. Here's a text I want to read now before I forget about it. Crowley didn't... This is because we played Jameis Winston praying. Didn't Tim Tebow get tossed out of the league because he was praying all the time? No.
No. That's not what happened.
He got tossed out of the league because he sucked. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Going to be joined by our sports director, Jeff Hathorn, coming up at the top of the next hour. So I did more math. Sorry, Doran. It's not really math, but it kind of is math. Math. With Russ, they're averaging 28.6 points per game, as I've said. That would have them 6th in the league if he did it over the full season. Just behind Washington and just ahead of Tampa. And ahead of such teams as Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Green Bay, Kansas City, Houston, San Francisco, LA, Atlanta. A lot of good to decent teams in that mix. And some that we think of as having these high-flying offenses. Steelers' offense has been among the best in football since Russell Wilson took over.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been moving it consistently. They haven't always punched it in the red zone, but they have been moving it consistently with Russell Wilson. I mean, I had the calculation somewhere here of total yards per game. But they've been moving it. I mean, they're up over 400 yards a game. 391 yards per game with Russell Wilson. So I think it's here to stay, man. And I think Arthur Smith deserves a ton of credit for it, too.
You can tell that it's here to stay, especially in offense. And we talk about how balanced this team is and comparing them to their, you know, teams around the league that they're going to be competing with. But on offense, you could tell that it's here to stay because of the disbursement of the football on offense. And it's been like that every single game that Russell Wilson has been in there. I mean, last game, there was 10 guys, 10 different guys that touched the football. Now, Mike Williams wasn't one of them. He was kind of the only one left out. But that isn't just a couple days ago. That has been like that ever since Russell Wilson really has been in there. Now, I don't know if it's been 10, but it's been close to 8, 9.
Yeah.
I mean, you see and you look at the numbers. Just check the box score after the game on Sunday, this game coming up, and then compare it to the box score of the game against the Bengals. And look at the numbers, though. The disbursement's one thing, but look at the numbers of each individual. They're around the same. Like Jaylen Warren, you know that he's going to have, and he was a little off with the rushing, but you know that he's going to have around 25 yards rushing. you know that he's going to have around 28 yards receiving or around 40 yards rushing. Najee Harris, you know he's going to be over 70 yards rushing. He's going to have over 15 yards receiving. Darnell Washington's always going to have a catch. Pat Freiermuth's always going to have three catches for, you know, 20 plus 30 yards. Van Jefferson's going to have maybe one catch. And then George Pickens always going to go over 80 yards receiving. Like, it's been like that every single game. It's literally, and that's why it's here to stay, because there has been that trend that he does not just target George. They don't just run with Najee. They run with Jalen. Then you fold in Cordarrelle Patterson. You throw Cordarrelle Patterson some footballs, even in the slot as a receiver. Like, these things have been the same since Russell Wilson has been in there. That's why it's here to stay.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you would expect Mike Williams to have a say in the matter at some point, too. They needed him in Washington. They probably could have used him in Cleveland. They lose the game. They didn't need him, obviously, against the Bengals. He'll get folded in.
Yeah.
He'll make plays.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. You wonder why or when, and the why it hasn't happened to this point, but they're making do without him. So I think there's an argument to be made that maybe it gets even better, and this offensive line, which is young, you would hope would continue to get better. I did want to mention Connor Hayward, because the two guys who didn't catch the football who reported as eligible were Connor Hayward and Mike Williams. Connor Hayward, though, he recovered the onside kick.
Right.
So he was able to make a play in the football game.
Think about guys like Skowronek. Like, who do you want on the field at this point whenever you're trying to run the football, establish a run? Do you want Skowronek on the field or do you want Mike Williams?
I'm okay with Skowronek.
I mean, he had a big catch.
He did. He did. Van Jefferson had one of the biggest catches of the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Third and nine. Looked like Cincinnati was going to bring the house. Russell Wilson just got the snap off because he's gesticulating. He knew exactly what Cincinnati was going to do. He knew where his hot was. He knew, I got to put this thing on a line. Did all those things.
Now, Mike Williams is a way better receiver than Skowronek.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm trying to say. But what they're trying to do in their identity, Skowronek kind of fits that build. He almost is taking the place of what they visioned Roman Wilson being. Like, they want to run the football. Skowronek is a very good blocking receiver, and he's a role player, and he will catch a football for you.
Yes.
So if you're trying to establish that, you kind of want, and we think about, I'm just trying to think through why Mike Williams hasn't getting the targets.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that maybe it's just so specific to, they have an identity, they want to stick to it, and Skowronek fits the build better than Mike Williams does, or Van Jefferson does, because he's been here longer. I don't know. I was thinking about it all last night, because I was like, even yesterday you asked me, you're like, what do you think it is? And I'm like, I don't know. And that bothered me that I didn't know. So I thought about it all last night. Like, why hasn't he even been looked at target-wise?
Yeah, and you wonder too, like, he's a veteran, he's a smart guy, he's got a good coordinator, he's got a veteran quarterback, but still, I mean, you're out there, you got to know all the checks, and they are doing a lot of that kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't know. Texter, the 44 was against an all-time bad D, is squeezing the numbers. Wasn't that long ago they went seven quarters without a touchdown? Yeah, but you can do anything you want with statistics. They also had the longest stretch in the NFL, going 23 straight quarters with scoring points. So, I don't know. The first half against the Browns was bad. The second half was good. And actually, the first half against the Browns, they did move the football.
Mm-hmm.
They crapped their pants in the red zone. They crapped their pants on short yardage. So we had even said coming out of that game, you fix both those areas. Those are the places you need to fix. Everything else had been looking pretty good. And then they put it all together against the Bengals. Time will tell if they can keep it up. I think they will. Against the Jets, they moved and scored. Against the Giants, they moved and scored. Against the Commanders, they moved and scored. Against the Cincinnati, they moved and scored. Only two games did they not, and really in both of those games, they moved it. When you look at all the top offenses in the NFL, it's not like, unless you're the Lions, you're not going out there every week putting up 30.
No.
You're going to have some where you do put up 40, but you're going to have some where you put up 20. Look at the Ravens the last 2 weeks, or two of the last 3 weeks. They didn't put up these huge offensive numbers. That's why they're averages. Sometimes you're great, sometimes you have an off day, but what do you do over the course of time? I think they've got sustainability here. All right, we've taken this long, but that's because we're having fun.
Yep.
Jeff Hathorn's going to join us next. There are some bad things to talk about with the Steelers. A bit of that with Jeff when we come back. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com.